Because you see, humans, we are just like sheep. We never think we have enough. I mean, watch us at the buffets. There's like mountains of food, and people are bringing more food by the tray, and they say you can go through as many times as you want to, but still, look at the plates. I saw one guy, he was using carrot sticks as retaining walls, and he was filling it up. It was one of you, I'm not gonna say which, but it was just, it's huge.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled Connecting Everything to a Soul, where he taught us not only the things that are good and beneficial to our soul, but also what is harmful to it. Well, today the focus is going to be on restoring our soul. In a moment, part two of a message entitled Connecting Everything to a Soul. But first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope. Now, here's Pastor Wayne with part two of the message, Connecting Everything to a Soul.
You say, well, Wayne, how do I do that? How do I get my soul in good working order? Really easy. Here's a couple of tips. Number one is, would you write down, focus on what will be healthy for your soul. Focus on what will be healthy for your soul. There's stuff that's unhealthy for your soul, and there's stuff that's healthy for your soul, just like eating. Good stuff for you, bad stuff for you. Let's read what it says here in 3 John. It's a great scripture. Would you read it out loud? Go. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health. Here it is. Just as your soul prospers. What is he saying? God is saying the way you will prosper is by increasing the health of your soul. As your soul prospers, I pray you will prosper as well. But what profits a man if you prosper and you lose your soul? Is there anything more important than your soul? You understand? So look for what's prosperous or healthy for your soul. And you can find them. Going to church is healthy for my soul. Taking time with my family or taking some solitude with God is healthy for my soul. Going to a small group or doing devotions, so healthy for my soul. Make sure that you have stuff in your life for your soul. Do you? What do you have in this week that you can say, this is for the sake of my soul. It'll do you well. This week, try to find some things that you can say, this is healthy for my soul. And share that in your small group. What would they be? And then not only that, would you also write, not, and conversely, not only what's healthy for your soul, but would you write down, identify what's what? Harmful for your soul. You need to identify that. 1 Peter 2:11 gives us one of those. Let's read it out loud. Go. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against your soul. Yeah, you're going to have thoughts come through your mind, fleshly lusts. Be careful. They're going to wage war against your soul. And at first, you might entertain them for 5 minutes. Catch yourself. And the next time those fleshly lusts come in your mind, stop it at 4 minutes. And then catch it sooner at 3. Pretty soon as it comes into your mind, you're saying, no, that's harmful for my soul. I'm just not going to do it. I can't. And you're starting to understand, is there anything more important than your soul? Because you see, if your soul is absent, you can keep coming to church, but you're not going to grow anymore. You're just going to get more legalistic and religious, because that reachable part of you that God can touch, and if he affects it, it changes you, it transforms you, it's called your soul. And if you keep that in good working order, then you can change from glory to glory. If not, you won't change. You'll grow old, but you won't grow up. And the devil wants to not get you out of church. You know what he wants to do? He wants to get your soul out of church. Because you can still come. See, the Pharisees went to temple all the time, but their souls weren't there. That was cool for the devil, because he made them dangerous to everybody else. See, his greatest desire is not to keep you from church, it's to keep your soul from church. Then God talks to you and God speaks to you in the middle of worship, but you don't really change over time. We stumble over the same things. And that's why we read here. Let's read this out nice and loud. Go. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who have long been. Oh, boy. He wants you to be someone who, like, you've long been dead. You still come to church, but you stopped growing 5 years ago. How we need our souls restored. So here's what we want to talk about. Here it is. Would you write down, know how to restore your soul. Know how to restore your soul. Because folks, listen, our soul will drag behind. It will lag behind. You'll bump into a sharp corner. You'll come across something of a relationship going sideways, and the devil's after your soul. He's after your soul. Do you still go to church? Yep. But you stopped growing until you resolve that. So what do I do? Well, here's the first thing. First thing is this. Would you write in there, if you had anything to do with it, be quick to repent. Because usually the way your soul gets cut out is something happened. Something took place in your marriage. Something took place somewhere. And then you still come anyway. I'm here. But God speaks, and we don't listen anymore. But I went to church. Ooh, something's not there, huh? See, the devil's goal is not to keep you from church. It's to keep your soul from church so you'll mess up church. You become dangerous. So the first thing is to repent. And can I encourage you to do this? Repent quickly. Be what to repent? Be? Quickly. Yeah, repent as quickly as you can. Repent as quickly as you can. You know, a lot of times our problem is not that we don't repent, it's that we take too long to repent. Well, but you don't know what so-and-so did. Yeah, it's like he lit this afire, this bookmark. Poof. Yeah, look what he did. He's burning my bookmark. Ouch, he's burning my bookmark. Ouch, it's burning my hand. Well, let it go. No way, that was my bookmark. Ouch. Now there's this inferno. That's just engulfing my hand. Ow! Let it go. Ow! out. Let it go. Ah, look, you burned my hand. No, he didn't burn your hand. You did. You did. The reason you need to be quick to repent is so that it'll save you from irreparable damage. And what we do is we start blaming everybody for our scars, and they didn't do that. Listen carefully. It's not sin that destroys God's people. It's unresolved sin. It's unresolved sin. Yeah, but God said he'd heal me. Oh, yes. God promised. How many of you are glad God promises to heal you? Raise your hand. Yeah, now listen very carefully. God will heal you, but you decide how long it will take. God will heal you. You want it to take 5 years? Want to take 3 minutes? 10 minutes? 3 years? 10 years? It's up to you. God says he'll heal. How long is up to you? So what? Well, be quick to repent. Otherwise, it's nobody's fault but mine that I have scars on my hand. How do you restore your soul? Number one, be quick to repent. And also quick to forgive. See, repentance and forgiveness are like 2 6-guns of the cross. What? Yeah. Your greatest 2 weapons against the devil is repentance, forgiveness. You see, because if you repent, the devil has nothing on you. He can't do anything to you. He has nothing to work with. And if you forgive, he can't get you. Forgive. Yeah, but he doesn't deserve forgiveness. Doesn't matter. He's still going to have to deal with it. But you forgive so it keeps you clear from scars. The greatest weapons you have against the enemy is repentance and forgiveness. That was given to you at the cross. The second thing that helps to restore your soul, then draw near to the shepherd. Draw near to the shepherd. You see, the Bible says the devil goes about like a prowling lion. Now, the Bible calls us sheep, the devil lion. Sheep are prey animals. Lions are predatory animals. Sheep are prey. Predators don't attack sheep when they're near the shepherd. Predators attack sheep when they're away from the shepherd. So how do you restore closeness? I can't think of a better chapter for the next 20 minutes to go over than Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm. And we're going to talk about that. The 23rd psalm, it's called a psalm of ascents. It's actually like Psalm 120 to 134. These are called psalms of ascent, which means they would read these psalms as they were ascending up to Jerusalem, to the temple, ascending to Mount Moriah. And then they would read the last verse of a certain psalm when they reached the temple. So Psalm 23 is like the psalm of ascents. And you have the last verse in the 23rd psalm is what they would read when they arrive. And what is that? Here's the promise of God that as they reach the temple. Here it is. Would you read it with me right at the end? Go. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now that was the final. Now we're going to rewind the tape and say, ooh, how do you get to that beautiful posture of an irresistible heart to heaven? How do you get to that place of an irresistible church? Well, let's rewind the tape and let's go back to Psalm 23 and see what takes place. Now, David is writing this, and he's a fugitive at this time. So he's running from cave to cave. Probably Saul is chasing him. And he sees the Bedouin shepherds shepherding their sheep. Now, you got to remember, David was a shepherd for most of his life. Until we find in Psalm 78, verse 72, it says, and he took David from the care of ewes and suckling lambs to shepherd his people Israel. And so David shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and the skillfulness of his hands. Well, he's a shepherd. So when he writes this, he knows what he's talking about. So it's going to have tons of meaning, and I want to try to bring some of this out as we talk about how God restores our souls. Because what is more important than your soul? Let's read this. Go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now, when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that's a Hebrew phrase that says this: the Lord, because he's my shepherd, I have everything I need. Does that mean that David had no needs? Well, sure he had needs. He's a fugitive. Probably had very sparse possessions. But what he's saying is, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. It's sort of like, because my dad is a multi-billionaire, I got everything I need, and we have a good relationship. Well, I don't see any stuff around you. It don't matter. My dad, I got everything I need. You understand? And David was making this not as a statement of opulence. It was a declaration of trust. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. There's going to be times that you won't have much of possessions. But God is going to draw you near to himself so that you can declare with trust, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. And sometimes God may take stuff away because your trust is in the wrong place. Because sometimes you don't realize that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you got. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. And he continues. He makes me. He what? He to lie down in green pastures and leads me besides quiet waters. You know, the shepherd would go from forage spot to forage spot because sheep need more areas to eat. And when he finds green pasture, he lets them eat. But the sheep eat and eat and eat and eat. Why? Because sheep, like humans, never think they have enough. Now, you need to know something about sheep. They're not the brightest creatures on the planet. They don't even walk right. They don't even run. They boing. And they have no sense of direction. They'll be going in one direction, and like George will take a hard left, and they'll say, "Hey, look, George, he just went left. What should we do?"
I think we should go left too.
Okay. And they just boing left. Like, I don't know much about sheep, but I do know this. Sheep need a shepherd. I think that's why God calls us sheep. Because bottom line is, we need a shepherd. Well, here's one thing about sheep, is they have, they're called ruminants, which means they have four stomachs, like cows. And they'll graze and graze and graze, and they'll input grass, fresh grass, into the largest portion of their stomach called the rumen. And this rumen has some microorganisms and bacteria that ferments the grass. But it doesn't begin the digestive process in the rumen. It has to actually put it into the next of the three stomachs before the digestion takes place. So that's why they have to chew their cud and mix it with more enzymes, and then the digestion process begins. But when it's only in the rumen, it's just fermenting and breaking down and building up gas. If the sheep do not stop and rest and chew its cud, it will build up gas and something called bloat takes place. And it can actually suffocate the sheep if he doesn't stop and chew its cud. So you know what the shepherd does? He makes him lie down in green pastures. Because humans are just like sheep. We never think we have enough. We'll go from weekend to weekend to eat more, get more knowledge. And the Lord is saying, would you just ruminate for a while on what I've been teaching you this last week? That's why devotions are so good, because it helps you to meditate on, ruminate on. Otherwise, the digestive process doesn't take place. It doesn't become a part of you. You don't get transformed by it. You get more knowledgeable, but you don't get transformed. And God will at times just say, chill. Because you see, humans, we are just like sheep. We never think we have enough. I mean, watch us at the buffets. There's like mountains of food. And people are bringing more food by the tray, and they say you can go through as many times as you want to, but still look at the plates when they go through. I saw one guy, he was using carrot sticks as retaining walls, and he was filling it up. It was one of you, I'm not gonna say which, but it was just, it's huge. And I laughed and I thought, that's just like us. We never think we have enough. I remember when Hurricane Iniki hit, this church sponsored some generators over to Kauai, and I went over there to distribute some generators, and I was feeding in the food line for these who lost their homes, and the electricity was down on the whole island. And the National Guard would bring in huge semis filled with ice, and you'd hear people say, free ice, free ice, and they'd run out of their houses and just get huge coolers of ice. And then 3 hours later, cheese, free cheese. And so, I mean, containers of cheese. And I was over at a friend's house. He had cheese and ice everywhere and butter. He must have had 19 pounds of butter. And then he had milk, gallons of milk. And then when I was there, somebody said, orange juice, orange juice. He bolts out of the house, comes back with 8 gallons of orange juice. And I thought, good night. Just, man, free orange juice, free orange juice. We're talking a little bit more, and I hear somebody say, free ice, and he bolts, and he starts running again. I grabbed him by the shirt. I said, forget it. He said, free ice. I said, you got tons of ice. He said, but it's free ice. I said, would you just sit down and chill? Isn't that just like us? We just never think we have enough. So he makes us lay down in green pastures. Otherwise, you'd never digest. He continues and he says this, and he what? Restores my, say that again. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Towards the evening, shepherds look at the sky to see buzzards circling. Because you see, in the evening, shadows get long, and because sheep have poor eyesight, often because they eat and eat and eat, and they ignore the instruction of the shepherd, their rumen becomes full, and then they get a little wobbly, and when the shadows are long, they can trip. Now, in the Israeli desert, there were streams that would come through the desert, and when they dry up, they would leave shallow depressions all over. They called them wadi, W-A-D-I. And sometimes the sheep, when they would trip, they would flip over. Now, here's another thing about sheep. Sheep are like turtles. When a sheep is cast, so that's the word, cast, or turned over, they cannot upright themselves. And blood drains from their extremities, and if they don't get help right away, their stomach bloats to such an extent that they suffocate themselves, and it's fatal. So in the evening, the shepherd will often search the sky and scan the evening, and when he sees buzzards, he starts running to that direction because he sees predators also watch. Because remember, predators wait for the sheep to get separated from the shepherd, and now they are vulnerable. Listen, there's going to be times you will feel cast. David used that same word in Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you discouraged within me? Hope again in God. There's going to be times you will have wandered off. No, not intentionally, just inadvertently. And you didn't take time to ruminate when you should have. And then you'll trip. And your soul will be cast down. And you're going to try everything you can to get circulation back, and you just can't. Because you see, it's very tough to restore your own soul. But the shepherd is watching for you.
You've just heard part two of a message entitled Connecting Everything to a Soul by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll bring you the conclusion of the message on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.